Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I want to welcome everyone. Those of you who are visiting with us from Oak Grove, we're glad that you're here. I know you're not glad that you're not able to meet out at Oak Grove today, but we're glad to have you here. Appreciate so much you being here this morning. And I hope the things that we say will be of helpful, be a benefit to you. What is the first thing you do in time of trouble? When you have problems. You know, everybody has problems from time to time. It may be health issues. It may be financial problems. It may be relationship problems. We all have problems. But not everyone tries to solve their problems in the same way. How do you solve your problems? What is the best way of solving our problems? You know, one person in the Bible who had, we might say, more than his share of problems was King David. For example, he was pursued by Saul. Saul wanted to kill him. He barely escaped several assassination attempts by Saul. He had to spend much time hiding in the wilderness, hiding from Saul. His entire family was kidnapped at one time, on one occasion. His friends turned against him and were ready to kill him. He suffered the shame and the consequences of having committed adultery and murder. His son Amnon raped his daughter Tamar. And another son, Absalom, murdered Amnon. Absalom, one later, himself was took the kingdom away from his father, revolted against his father. Absalom himself was later killed, which brought great grief to the heart of David. And maybe we could keep going on. David experienced a lot of troubles and problems within his life. Yet somehow he survived them all and has come to be remembered, as the Bible says, a man after God's own heart. And how did that happen? How was he able to go through all of this and still be a faithful servant of the Lord and described as a man after God's own heart? Well, I believe that we can find the answer as we consider what David did when he faced one of the most serious problems in his life. And that's recorded here in 1 Samuel chapter 30. If you notice here in verse 6, it says, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." What did David do? Notice, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. We need to look at the context of this passage. This is at a time that David had fled from Saul. Saul sought to kill David. And he, at this time, had aligned himself with the Philistines. He had aligned himself with Achish, the king of Gath. And Achish had given him the city or the town of Ziklag. And that's where his 600 men and himself and their families, their wives and their sons and daughters, resided. At this time, the Philistines were preparing to battle against Israel. And David and his men had joined the Philistines to go and fight with the Philistines. Achish had trust in David, but not the other leaders of the Philistines. And because they did not fully trust David, they sent him and his men back home to Ziklag. So when they went back to Ziklag, what they found is that it had been attacked and burned by the Amalekites. The wives and their sons and daughters had been kidnapped, included David's wives, Ahinoam and Abigail. It says in verse 4 of this passage in 1 Samuel 30, "Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep." And on top of that, his people spoke of killing him. And that's what's stated here in verse 6. "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters." David is in great distress. What does he do? David strengthened himself and the Lord is God. That's how David dealt with this problem. As we continue the story, of course, we know that David inquires of the Lord what to do. Should I pursue this truth? God said, pursue it, and you will be able to regain all and bring back all that was taken. And David does that with his 600 men. Of course, 200 are not able to go, and the other 400 with David go, and they're able to defeat the Amalekites and recover their wives, their sons and daughters, and all of their possessions and bring them back. But it was all because he trusted God. He strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. But what does that mean? What does it mean to strengthen yourself in the Lord your God? How did David strengthen himself in the Lord his God? Well, this is maybe an introduction to some extent to our study on Sunday morning, in our Bible class period. In times of trouble, David often composed psalms. And that's what we're studying in our Sunday morning class beginning today. That the Psalms of David, and many times his psalms were composed in times of great trouble. And what we find in these psalms is how David dealt with these problems. First of all, just a few examples of a few. While he was being pursued by Saul, he wrote Psalm 59. If you notice here in Psalm 59, and as we mentioned in Bible class this morning, these titles were evidently inserted by men later. They're not inspired of God. And some think that some of the titles are not really accurate, but we know that these titles were given fairly early before we know the Old Testament scriptures were translated into the Greek language, which was in the 2nd century B.C. So we know that probably during the time of the exile and the captivities is when these titles maybe were inserted. But it says concerning this psalm, a miktam of David, when Saul sent men and they watched the house in order to kill him. This is probably the time when, in 1 Samuel chapter 19, when David went to his house after Saul had tried to kill him with a spear. David goes to his house, and Saul sends messengers to watch for him and in the morning to kill him. Now, David was married to Michal, Saul's daughter. And Michal says, if you don't do something, you're going to die. And so she assists him in him escaping out of a window, and he escapes. But this may be the time when he then pens this psalm, when it says, deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me, not for my transgression nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Awake to help me, and behold. He looks to God during this time of trouble. We also find that while imprisoned in Gath, he wrote Psalm 56, again according to the title, a miktam of David when the Philistine captured him in Gath. This is maybe the time of when he feigned madness, that he was insane. And Achish then said, get him out of here. I don't want a madman here. He says, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. During great trouble, he cries out to God. And also fleeing from Absalom. You remember we talked about this morning how that Absalom had overtaken the kingdom, and David had to flee because of Absalom's conspiracy of those against him and who took the kingdom. In Psalm 3, verses 1 and 2, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. What does he do? He cries out to God. And also in the wilderness of Judah, he wrote Psalm 63, 3, no doubt during the days of hiding from Saul who wanted to kill him. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. You know, what we see here is from these Psalms, we can glean how David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And I want to look at these Psalms and look at some of the things that are stated here that will help us to know what David did during times of trouble and how he strengthened himself in the Lord his God and was able to deal with these problems. First of all, David placed his trust in God to help him. Look in Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. He says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Now, you think about the various ones who were trying to kill him. They had great power. They had the ability to kill him. But he put his trust in God, and he says, I will not fear. Because he knew that God would take care of him. What can flesh do to me? He knew that God was of greater power than whatever force men may bring against him. Verses 9 through 11, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. In God I will praise His Word. In the Lord I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And so we see that David put his trust in God during these times of trouble. And he relied upon God then to help him. And also David is determined to praise God for his help. During this time, he would offer praise to God. Sometimes this may be even before the help came, that he would then offer his praise unto God during these times of trouble. Look in Psalm 59, verses 16 and 17. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. And so David would praise the Lord during the times of trouble, thanking God for His help, praising Him during these times. Also, we find that he would overcome his problems by here in Psalm 63, seeking the Lord. Look at verses 1 and 2. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. He sought for God. And also he praised God and prayed to God. Look again here in verses 3 through 5 in Psalm 63. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fit fatness. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When he says here, I will lift up my hands in your name, that would include prayer. As he prayed to God, and then he was assured of the fact that the Lord would satisfy him as with marrow and fatness. And he praised God because of his help. And so he prayed to God. He would praise God during these times of trouble. He also meditated upon the Lord. Look at verses 6 and 7. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. When he thought about the problems that he had, he would meditate upon God. He would think about God's greatness, God's power. As he put his trust in God, he meditated upon God, and he prayed to God. Also, doing this, he would be made strong as the Lord would support him. Look at verse 8 of Psalm 63. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. How was he strong in the Lord? How is it that he strengthened himself in the Lord and in his God? Well, it was by praying to God, praising God, seeking God, meditating upon God. That's how he found his strength and was able to deal with the problems that came within his life. How about us today? Think about it. How do you deal with your problems? When problems have come into your life, whether financial, whether with health issues, maybe relationship problems, how do you deal with the problems of today? Do we reject God and try to solve our problems on our own? That's the way some deal with their problems. They forsake Him entirely sometimes. They stop attending the services of the church and stop worshiping God. They stop praying to God. They stop seeking God. They're thinking, well, you know, I've got to deal with... Maybe the attitude is, or they express it this way, let me get my life straight first. Let me get my problem solved, and then I'll come back and serve the Lord. That's the way some deal with their problems. Well, they've got the cart before the horse. That's not how you're going to deal with problems, is to leave God out of your life, to reject Him. How did David, a man after God's own heart and who found God's help, how did he deal with his problems? He sought God. He prayed to God. He praised God. He meditated upon God. He relied upon God's strength in the midst of formidable enemies, enemies who had, when you look with your naked eye and you see what was happening, these were enemies that could overpower me. But how was he successful in his dealing with the problems? Because he put his trust in one who had greater power than any man. And that was God. You know, if we do this, that is, reject God and try to solve the problems on our own, then we are cursed. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 17, beginning with verse 5. Thus says the Lord, Jeremiah writes, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Notice the one who rejects God, makes flesh his strength, who trusts in man. Notice the figures that are used here. He's like the shrub in the desert. He will not see when good comes. He shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. The drought comes and he will be parched. But what about the one who puts his trust in the Lord? He's like that tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the rivers and will not fear when heat comes. When the drought comes and there's no rain, he still has the water. And he flourishes. That's the one who put his trust in the Lord. But if I don't do that, cursed is me, the Lord says. A good example of God's displeasure when His people fail to look to Him for strength is found here in Isaiah chapters 30 and 31. You remember this was a time when Assyria was threatening Israel. The Assyrians were threatening Israel. You remember in our study of Isaiah back some time ago, we talked about among the Israelites there was what we might call the Egyptian party. That is, those of the Israelites who believed that in order for them to be secure against these Assyrians who were coming against us, we're going to have to put our trust in Egypt. We're going to have to go back to Egypt and find some of their strength. They looked upon Egypt and they had all the military power that they needed in order to be able to defeat the Assyrians. And so that's where we need to go. We need to go to Egypt and find our strength there. Notice what Isaiah says in Isaiah 30, verses 1 and 2. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt, and have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. That's what some were doing. They were taking counsel, but it was not of the Lord. They were adding sin to sin, he said. They were wanting to find their refuge in Egypt and in their power. In verse 3 it says, therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. You put your trust in man, you put your trust in flesh and blood, it's not going to survive. Look in chapter 31, beginning with verse 1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel to seek the Lord, nor seek the Lord. Yet He also is wise and will bring disaster and will not call back His words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out His hand, both he and who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together. Those who would trust in chariots and in horsemen and in the flesh in Egypt and their power, they're going to fall. They're going to fail, is what he's saying. The emphasis here is that this was a time they needed to put their trust in the Lord and not in men. In verses 15 through 16, we know that the Lord wanted them to put their trust in Him. It says, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. That is, returning to Him, finding rest in Him, they will be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. That's what God wanted them to do. But you would not, it says. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you'll flee. You shall flee. And we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. It's going to be against them. The point is that trusting God means that we do it His way, not our way. God wants us to put our trust in Him. And that means we submit to Him. We then cry out to Him and we inquire, Lord, what do You want me to do? How do You want me to deal with this problem? And then we do it whether though it may not seem reasonable to man. It may be that, you know, I might not be doing what I need to do, what man thinks I need to do in order to solve this problem. But where's our trust? Our trust is not in men and their advice, their counsel, but our trust is in the Lord. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 7 says, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. In other words, with a contrite heart, repent of your sins. Have sorrow over sin. Repent. Turn to God. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Look also in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. It requires humility for us to submit to God and not listen to men, not to do it the way men may think we ought to do it. But we submit to God, we listen to Him, we humble ourselves under His mighty hand. Trusting God means we live life His way, not our way. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. When we trust God and humbly submit to Him, what are we? We're strengthening ourselves in the Lord our God. That's how we do it. Just like David did. And so when we go through troubles and trials, where do we first go? What do we first think about? Well, someone says, well, the Lord helps those who help themselves. And there's some truth to that. The Lord says for us to pray, give us this daily, our daily bread. But He also wants us to work and labor so that we might have the things that we need. And there is some truth to the Lord helps those who help themselves as we follow the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something. If in doing that we are disobeying the Lord, if we're turning our backs on the Lord, we're rejecting the Lord. I've got to do this work and I then reject serving Him because I'm working all the time. I no longer attend the assemblies of the church because of the work. I got to work. I got to solve this problem first. But what am I doing? I'm forsaking worshiping, praising, praying, serving the Lord. I do that, then I don't have the Lord in my life. Matter of fact, the Lord then says there's a curse. We never turn our backs on God. In times of trouble, yes, we do what we have to do as the Lord has commanded us to do what we're to do, but we understand where the power is. We understand who's going to deliver us. We understand who's the one who's going to bring us through those problems. It's going to be the Lord. It's going to be His strength. It's not going to be us pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. It's not going to be because we did it ourselves. It's going to be because of what God has done in our life. That's what it means to have faith in Him. That's what it means to trust Him. That's what David did when he then had problems and troubles in life. How do you deal with your problems in life? Let us do what David did. Trusting the Lord. Praising the Lord. Praying to the Lord. Meditating upon the Lord. Submitting to the Lord. And as stated in Psalm 63 and verse 8, my soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. That's where our strength will be, and the Lord will bring us through those problems. Well, I hope that the things we've said this morning will help you as you deal with problems, and we all have them. That the first thing you think about is seeking God, praying to God, praising God, serving Him, making Him the priority. And I'll guarantee you, because the Lord guarantees it, He'll be with you. The Lord cares for you, and He has promised that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. As long as you are drawing near to Him, He's drawing near to you. And He'll be there with you. If there are any here this morning who need to respond to the invitation of our Lord, we're singing the song, Let Him Have His Way With Thee. Let Him Have His Way With You. If you're not allowing the Lord to have His way in your life, then repent. Come to the Lord. If you're not a Christian, come to Jesus believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of all your sins. Commit your life to Him. Confess your faith and then be baptized in His name for the remission of sins as Jesus commanded. Make that commitment. Let Him have His way in your life. He'll save you. If you've become a Christian but you've fallen away, you're not dealing with your problems in the way that the Lord has called upon you to deal with them, then repent. Come back to the Lord. Go to God in prayer. Ask Him to forgive you. Let Him have His way in your life. If you need to come, please come while together we stand and sing.